Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Welcome to Heritage Radio Network On Tour. I'm Lindsay Collins of F&B Radio, and today we're broadcasting live from the Charleston Wine and Food Festival. We want to thank Ben's Friends for making our coverage today possible. This afternoon, we're focusing on conversations on building a sustainable lifestyle and finding balance in the hospitality industry, because that's really hard. Big thanks to Charleston Wine and Food Festival for having HRN down here for the fifth year in a row. Hey, hey, hey. And we're going to get right into it because I'm super excited to be sitting now with two of my buds and one of my buds from New York.
What's
Hannah's
up?
Sitting
Hannah's
in.
I'm from HRN.
Yo.
So happy to have you.
It's always my favorite thing to see you. It's like become one of the things that I look forward to the most because I'm just like, it feels like a reunion.
Likewise.
Where I when I first met you guys, I was like, oh, so nervous and so just impressed with everything that you do. And now I feel pumped like, oh, it's like a reunion.
The feeling is mutual. Us podcasting babes have to stay together.
Yes.
Promote each other.
Yes. Send each other encouraging text messages and selfies because you always have really good pins. You and Katie will also send me pictures of her pins, which I love.
You guys have the best pins.
Thank you so much. We need to reorder those.
They're great pins.
Yeah. Oh, that's the voice of Mari Sorza. Guys, Mari is, welcome to the show, Mari.
Thank you so much for having me.
I also want to thank the one and only Naida Freda.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. Hi. Wait, Freire.
It's Portuguese, but I'm Cuban, so it's very confusing all around. It's Freire, but it's impossible to say without sounding like Alex Trebek, where you're like, salsa. Freire, but, you know, my husband's last name is Hudson, and I'm like, should I just go for that already? It's just so much more Charleston.
I know, but I do love it.
I do love the flair of the, you know, like, I'm from Miami, guys. Get used to it.
Exactly. From Miami.
I'm just happy because, like, I know we're going to be friends when you roll up with a bag full of bagels.
I'm right? Like, I'm like, here's some bagels.
She totally did.
Friend.
You can't show up without, you know, a hostess gift.
Oh, my God. Naida owns two amazing businesses here in Charleston, one of which is Rinzo, which during the week is pizza. And now on Mondays, the Chinese pop-up. We're going to talk about that in a second because I love it.
It's pretty cool. We're just trying to fill all the holes that, as people that used to live in New York and Miami, are very desperate to fill.
Yes.
Mostly for selfish reasons. Where we're like, how can I get General So's on the reg?
Yes.
Yeah.
Should I just do it myself? Do I
Fine.
Have to do that now?
Do I have to do everything myself? Do I have to make these bagels on Sundays?
I make bagels. I got to make pizza. I got to make craft cocktails and sell shitty beer on top of that.
You're killing the game. I am so excited that you guys are both here because Mari, actually, I know you from two worlds. You're also my best friend, so I'm not going to pretend like I don't know you.
Oh my God.
Full disclosure, sponsored post.
Yeah, totally candid here. But Mari is a bartender and a comedian. So those are two worlds that I feel like make very much sense in my heart and F&B Radio's heart.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that is how we met, because you did a live show that blew my mind. What's the policy on swearing on this?
As much as you would.
Oh, okay. I did it already, so I was like, FCC, sorry.
It blew
We're
my mind.
So.
Thank you.
It was a Food and Bev themed sketch show. Like, everything had this element of... You've either eaten in a restaurant or worked one, and it was, I mean, chef's fingertip kiss. It was so good.
And then the other tie that binds is that we're all moms.
Yes.
Some of us moms for a couple years, some of us moms just recently. Naida's baby is actually right in front of us. You guys home are not able to see her cuteness, but Izzy is here.
Izzy is here. She's wearing a faux fur vest.
Yes, she is.
She is definitely styled out tonight. I try to make her wear the most embarrassing things I can while I still have that option.
Yes.
So she can fight me.
I will say some babies couldn't pull that off, and she is pulling it off.
Nailing it.
Yeah. You know, it's all about balance. You know, she has the really slim-fitting leggings to balance out the you know, the top. You can't do two heavy things. It's got to be one or the other.
I think I'm the only one who doesn't have a baby, but looking at your baby, I'm like, I'm already
pregnant. You're convinced.
Yeah.
Her ovaries are just
That's how we get you. Pulsating.
That's Izzy, you know?
She is perfect.
She's four months old as of 2 days ago, so she's very new.
Yes.
Still kind of getting used to being outside and not being in a dark, wet womb.
Sometimes you feel like they want to go back
right?
in there.
I feel like that, too.
Even now, I'm struggling to be out here and like, not in a dark, wet womb. But it's, and Mari, Arlen, your baby, is a year and a half today.
A year and a half today.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you have three.
I have three, but I have one baby that really kind of, you sort of forget as they get older how hard it can be when they're babies. So yeah. I've been thrown back into the freshness of juggling everything and dealing with a newborn. Because my other boys are 6 and 7, yeah. so they're like, they can do a lot of stuff for themselves. But the newborn situation, I want to kind of talk to both of you about this. Because when Hannah kind of approached me, she was curious about balance, quote unquote. In
heard of it?
Believe in it?
It's when one part of the scale is on the floor,
right.
the other one's tipped upside down as high as it can go.
That's it.
Yeah, it's balance. That's my life.
And specifically in food and beverage, because I don't know about you guys. Like, I'll be curious to hear from each of you, and we can kind of start with Mari. But how much do you work per week in a restaurant or bar?
Mine is a little different because it is a music venue. So I could have, depending on what the schedule is, I could work 5 nights a week or I could work 2.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. And then NIDA,
I'm in a weird situation because I have like a seemingly pretty sweet deal in a lot of ways. I live upstairs from Renzo, which is across the street from Faculty Lounge.
Smart.
So they're all within 30 seconds of one another. So I can pop upstairs if I need to. I can pop downstairs. I can run across the street, which I do a lot. But because I'm also an owner, I don't have to be there unless I absolutely feel like I need to be. I can definitely schedule somebody to be there in my stead. We have really great staff. Faculty is kind of really, you know, a well-oiled machine at this point. Or, you know, it's definitely a neighborhood bar that's, you know, been around for a long time.
So it knows who it is.
Yeah, like it's found its identity and it's pretty, you know, easy to kind of just, you know, check in and not have to do too much to change things up. It's, you know, pretty stable. Frenzo's still fairly new, but we have such a good staff that I can, you know, still pop in and check in and help out when it's busy and then retreat to the background and just kind of pop upstairs and help Izzy out and do that a lot. So it's a little much.
Do you
to
feel
kind of
like you're always working instead of just not like I work 5 nights a week. I'm just pretty much
like,
always on in some capacity.
Like, yeah. But it's nice because I don't feel like I have to really answer to anyone at the same time where it's like, oh, you're late. It's like, well, I wrote the schedule and I put myself as on. That means I might be there.
That means on when I get here.
Yeah. It's like, if I want to, I'll be on. But it's, I'm always on
at
the same time. So I do a lot of stuff from home for the restaurant and the bar. I do a lot of the, you know, kind of unseen sort of work where it's like social media, payroll, scheduling, ordering, budgeting. So a lot of that stuff that happens outside of the actual service period happens all the time. So in one way or another, I'm always on.
So NIDA works 24 hours a day.
Yeah. And then I'm with Izzy too.
So. Yeah. And everyone wonders why kids just want to grab phones
right.
all the time.
So I'm curious, Mari, when you first had Arlen, was there a moment where you were like, there's no way I can go back to working at the bar? Or was there, or were you always just like,
no.
I got this. This is great.
I think I immediately thought I got this. Because I think I worked at the bar until 39 weeks.
Damn.
Which was very cool. I was blessed with like a very easy pregnancy.
That's very cool.
And then on top of the music hall being great and not making me feel bad for like not being able to like lift cases
right.
of beer up 2 flights of stairs, it was like, oh, and you're just going to like clean the keg system today. Or like you're just going to like wipe down the counter. So they very much like helped with that. And then once I had the kid, it is such like a very special time. But even that, like the isolation of it does get old real quick. That even if I was working a night or two, I called it being paid to have a social life. Like if I can just go to work and like see people.
Right, just for 2 hours.
And
even.
And they were awesome. They let me like pump in Bonnie's office and
that's a dream because that is the number one most difficult thing.
I would
thing.
Just sit and like chomp chips for 20 minutes.
like we're on your phone, just scrolling.
Yeah. Just be like, oh, this rules. And then just like go back to work and feel somewhat normal, although at the same time not at all.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a huge I think for me, when I had my kid, my first kid, I just couldn't. My whole world was so rearranged that I couldn't see anything being normal again. So I sort of blanketed it to everything. I was like, I'll never be able to, like...
Oh, it feels like that for sure.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I'll never sleep again.
Yeah.
I'll never, you know, not feed her every hour and a half.
Yeah.
Like, it'll just be every hour and a half. It's something. And it still is to some extent, because they do need something pretty often, whether it's eating, sleeping, changing. They're just fussing. There's, you know, only so much time that they're just chill.
Yeah.
Before
yeah.
they explode again.
Well, and when I come in, I've been in Dorenzo so many times, but...
But recently Izzy, yeah.
And every time I've seen Izzy either in her little carrier sleeping, like, right next to the booth,
yeah.
in the back. Like, she's very much a part of the restaurant, yeah. which I think is an amazing perk of owning the restaurant.
Yeah, yeah, totally. It's like, sorry, my baby's here, but...
Yeah, but, no,
but
also
no one,
not sorry,
sorry at all. Yeah. And she seems to
love
at peace there.
She loves being in the space. I think she's more kind of at home and acclimated to that noise than she is when she's upstairs and she's by herself. And Eric and I are trying to get work done around her. And she's like, I don't think so.
Well, they say that. Like, yeah.
I have a question, too. Like, has being, like, going through a pregnancy and now being a mom affected your leadership as, like, someone who's, like,
well,
like, are you thinking about things differently than you might have before experiencing this and, like, how, like, you know, what you're offering your staff and, like...
I think we've been really lucky to have really great staff. One of the things, like, before I, you know, when I was pregnant and was working towards not being there as much, I definitely had people on staff that were really nice about, like, taking on more work and taking on more responsibility and, you know, taking on more of what I would normally do. So I've been really lucky to have people just step up that I would have liked to maybe promote earlier and didn't really have the time... or budget to do where I was doing everything myself. And now that I've had, you know, to take a bit of a step back, they've been able to really come up and just like really help me out. So I've been really grateful in that sense to have really amazing, smart people on board to help make the transition a little bit easier. So that's been helpful. And it's also forced me to kind of not do everything myself, which I'm really bad at. I'm just very much like, oh, I'll just figure it out. Oh, I can just do that. No, it's no big deal. But it's really important to be able to delegate and let other people learn and make mistakes and also just, you know, provide a different perspective and show that they also have valid and interesting things to contribute to the restaurant. And it makes them more, I think, empowered at work too. And I feel like we've always been good about letting people kind of make their own decisions to some extent. And we're not like super corporate in any way at all, obviously, because we live upstairs and it's a mom and pop kind of place. So we do give people a lot of freedom as it is, but it's important, I think, to make that, I think, more apparent sometimes and less of a just de facto sort of thing and more of an intentional sort of program. So we've been blessed to have that opportunity to really let some of the guys in the kitchen especially take on more responsibility. And the guys that we have now are just so awesome and so smart and talented and responsible that it's been really easy to kind of step back and let things still run in my, you know, maternity leave.
Yeah.
It's kind of a funny one because
Well, that's another thing. I'm so glad you brought maternity leave up because the last I've had three pregnancies now, all working at restaurants, and each time I just quit my job.
Yeah.
And it was really tough because I was like, they either couldn't offer me a guaranteed position when I got back, which felt really terrible because one of the places I had worked at for over 5 years for multiple stores, if you will, the business. And I just remember being like, I gave you all that,
right?
And you can't like make sure
like
that
in 3 months that I can be
anything. I was willing to like go down in position or like run food or whatever, and they just were like, we just can't tell. And granted, this was 7 years ago when I think that was more of the norm. In restaurants,
and the landscape like, has changed.
Whatever.
What are you gonna do?
Even so,
did the music hall ever? Were they ever like, what are you gonna do? Or did they make you make any choices?
No, they're awesome.
That's
They're all. It is funny that that's also kind of like a mom and pop feel. I mean, it's Charles, Nicholas, and Bonnie like running the show,
doing a lot.
Yeah. So I mean, there was never any question that.
And Charles is a dad, too.
Yeah, now he is.
Yeah.
And Nicholas is, too.
Wow.
So it's funny that we do have this little, like, crew now. And I don't know if they got it, like, when I was pregnant.
It was contagious,
like, they get
probably.
It now.
Like,
I mean,
they were like, you sneezed on them, and now, you know, they're
totally
having babies.
Did.
But
don't talk about contagious.
Yeah, right. It's on.
Anna's already pregnant, guys.
I know. Guys, he's right here.
She's but so sweet.
It's been, it was awesome to come back, but... for my own sanity, but also on the maternity leave of like the financial side is the huge burden. It's like,
yes,
my husband and I, Henry and I have always been 50-50 on everything. Even when we're married, it's like, all right, where's your half of the rent? Where's your half of the whatever?
And, yeah.
And then I got pregnant and had a kid and I like looked and I was like, my mattress cash is gone.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm broke. Like, I wasn't even thinking of it. I was like, I have no money. I was like, I have to go back to work.
I have no
agency. Yeah. I have nothing.
Where's my go bag?
Yeah. And that's something that
And that's probably the first, like, time I cried, like, after having a kid. It wasn't even anything.
Really?
It was, like, me being poor. Being like, oh, no.
I guess I'm always going to be poor now.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I, like, tucked my tail between my legs. Like, I have to ask my husband for money.
Yeah, but that is, like, a bad feeling because you feel like you're in a position to kind of accept charity or something else from others to like make it work or choose between. My particular situation with the last baby was I was gonna have to give up breastfeeding because they didn't have a place for me to pump, which is technically illegal,
right?
But they did have a place, but it really
wouldn't
wasn't
they use it or
no? They would have.
It was just awkward.
Was it like the walk-in?
Yeah, it was worse.
I wish it was
that
would have
been like at least one temperature. It was
right,
like
at least
a shed
control temperature.
Outside of the restaurant.
Yeah.
And I.
There's no like office that you could use or something.
No. Well, because if you've ever been in a restaurant, you know that's the last
that's
thing
the
that they
place.
Build.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
Always like some weird little closet or
we
like
don't have an office at Renzo.
Right.
So I'm like they don't have an office.
A table
there's
with a floor length.
Yeah. I mean, just can we drop a linen and I'll just crawl under?
I'll just go into that booth
the way
and
it was meant
if I
to be.
Could, and I this was on me. This wasn't the restaurant, but I felt it really impossible to walk away from my station because the type of service that I provide, like it's always been very fine dining, very high pace. The amount of money I make is directly correlated with me
being
taking
present.
Care of them.
Yeah.
So if all of a sudden I'm gone for 30 minutes, that's like a really weird shift for the guest.
Could you imagine if
like,
your server
just
didn't come over
pumping?
For 30 yeah. minutes?
Yeah, she's just her she's pumping. Do you guys know what that means? Does that make you want to eat more?
Just hold tight.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just pause. You guys take a walk or whatever, and she'll be right back with you. And so it just is a weird insert to have someone who doesn't know them. Like, my staff was happy to jump in, but it made me feel like I was letting my guests down, being like, they're not getting the experience that the people on the first turn got because I didn't have to pump. And
right.
I felt really like I had to make a choice.
Well, when you're in a busy restaurant, it's hard to even keep track of time sometimes. You're like, oh my God, what time is it? Like,
yeah.
I should have pumped an hour ago. Or like, I'll have to go upstairs sometimes. And, you know, I mean, I live upstairs, so like that's a little bit easier for sure. And it's my house, so that's nice. But it's still sometimes really stressful to, you know, plan when to do that when you have people at the door and all the tables are full and you're, you know, just trying to keep the restaurant going. It's really hard to walk away from that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's totally.
Yeah. I would be cleaning like the parts of the pump in the public bathroom at the music hall, like upstairs, like in the women's room, just like thumb and soap and some, some pumps around.
Totally.
Well, and it makes me, I think it would be a cool kind of segue to talk about if you knew someone in food and beverage that was having a baby, what advice would you give them now that you have had like come out on the other side and feel good about where you are from both of your situations because they're pretty unique? Like if Hannah were your bar back.
Sorry.
Oh my God.
Hannah's pregnant now.
I'm 30 next year and your baby just magically inseminated.
It's a miracle. Yes.
I think just having a plan for once you have the baby, especially because you might think, oh, it's fine. You know, they sleep a lot and they do, but you don't know when they're going to sleep. It's not like you can be like, okay, from now for the next 4 hours, you're going to be asleep. It's like, you're going to be kind of asleep and you're going to be crying 15 minutes into it. And then, so like having just a week or two, even just to get used to not leaving your house and just being kind of on beck and call, is really important because you think you're gonna have more time to do things, but you don't really. And then it stabilizes. But for the first week or two, it's really just kind of, you're at the mercy of your baby basically. And you're not even able to take a shower or change out of your pajamas. You're leaking.
Yeah.
You're recovering from a major traumatic physical event, you know?
Yes.
Even if you have an easier pregnancy or an easier labor, and I was really lucky as well to have a pretty, you know, kind of easygoing pregnancy, much easier labor than I thought, because of course I'm like reading everything that could go wrong.
Yeah, you're like
the entire time.
So
I'm like, I'm gonna have an emergency C-section. I'm gonna like, you know, have this. I'm gonna have that, and it ended up being fine. I was in and out of the hospital, but it could have. You just never know. So you really have to prepare to at least take 2 weeks to just, you know, kind of just just recover in whatever way, you know, that means.
Yeah.
And it sounds like from what you're talking about with your staff is like asking for help in pretty much any like
and just
big
expecting that you're going to need that.
Yeah, getting ready to be like, okay, these are the people I know I can count
on. They're not going
to
see me for a week and a half. They might see me for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But they're not going to see me in the way they're used to seeing me.
Right.
And I'm going to reiterate, you got to stash away that mattress cash. You got to have your own money because you're going to freak out when all you want to do is like get nice coffee and your bank account is zero and you have no cash on hand.
Yeah. And then my 2 cents would be make sure you really communicate with the people that you're working for. And if they're not awesome people like NIDA or the people at the Charleston Music Hall, get yourself a new job.
Yes.
Yeah. And make sure that you are taken care of before you go into it, right? I'm getting a hell yeah from my audience.
Right, some amens
love
from
it.
The audience.
Because if they're not willing to do that for you, there's something wrong. A, it's you have rights. And it's a very normal thing to be in this industry and have a child.
It's not going to get easier.
No.
Like, if your kid gets sick, if they're not understanding in their early stages, they're not going to be understanding when they're three and
I have a girl who just started working at Renzo who has a 5-month-old, and it's great because she's super part-time, which is exactly what I needed. But it's also nice to have somebody else that's kind of, you know, along the same trajectory as I am. She's a month past that, so it's kind of fun to be like, well, what was, you know, your baby doing at 4 months, and is that normal? And so we have a soundboard, and it's just so nice to have somebody that I can kind of, you know, relate to on that level, but that also I feel really good about hiring her because I'm like, oh, this is so awesome. I have a mom here.
And what a cool thing to be able to provide
to
someone.
Provide that, like
and
someone
be
who,
like, you're cool here. It's fine.
And just like you were saying, it's so nice to get out of the house. So for her, she loves it. She's there like twice a week, 3 times a week. You know, she's able to socialize. Her baby's also bonding with her dad. And, you know, her dad's like taking care of her baby for 4 or 5 hours and feeding her and is able to have a special relationship without, you know, her being the only one that can provide for her either, you know?
I love it.
Really important, I think, for Eric and Izzy, too, that sometimes I'm like, here's a bottle. Like, if you need anything, I'm downstairs. But
here you go. You guys are so, so wonderful for coming here to talk about your beautiful babies and this wild industry.
Thank you for having us.
Hannah, I can't wait to see your baby.
My husband's listening like, what the hell?
So I hear you're pregnant. How far along are you?
We got her.
What have you been doing?
We got another one.
Really quick gestation, too, you know, like
2 weeks
from now.
Yeah, but thank you guys so much because I think it's such an important conversation. And like, I know like we're like worrying about all of our community in New York with like coronavirus and like I think people don't realize how precarious things are in the hospitality industry, whether it's like having a baby, having a health problem, like all these things can overturn a business and like
Have
someone's life. So like knowing like, hey, I'm not the first person who's gone through this.
Yes.
Here's some advice. So thank you guys.
Alone.
That's awesome.
You're awesome. I love seeing you every year. Please give all my love to everybody at HRN.
We will.
This is always the highlight of my festival. And I want to just thank you all for listening to Heritage Radio Network on Tour. Again, I'm Lindsay Collins, the host of FNB Radio. You can listen to me at EFFNBRADIO@gmail.com or email me there. And then you can also listen to me at EFFINBRADIO.com. Thanks again, Ben's friends. You guys, wow, talk about taking care of each other. That is an incredible industry. If you haven't checked out Ben's friends, they do some amazing, amazing work for food and beverage people. It'll totally inspire you. Check them out. And for making today's coverage possible. Those guys are incredible. Again, I'm Lindsay Collins, and stay tuned for more from Charleston Wine and Food.
This program is powered by Simplecast.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Aweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.